Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country. And those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Somewhat of a somber episode today. We're going to recall the life of Joe D. You know, obviously died on Sunday morning, but a beloved member of the Ravens community, the Ravens family, and someone I always appreciated watching as a coach. We'll go into that in some detail. To do that with me is Melissa Kim. Melissa, I know you hold a ton of jobs right now, but I'm going to try and list these out. Bleacher Report, 105.7 The Fan, Channel 9 in DC, and you're going to be a sideline reporter, as I understand it, and do some color for Howard Football as well.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's definitely a different time right now, I think, than when we normally talk about on the show and everything. But you could tell that the mood was a little different at the Castle today. They had a practice today, and we talked to head coach John Harbaugh afterwards. And I went over to the O-line immediately, you know, and I kind of wanted to see how everyone was. And I mean, even some of the PR folks gave them hugs and everything, just because it really is so sad, you know. But yeah, I'm sure we'll get to a lot of that a little bit. But definitely a somber note for sure, as you mentioned.
So he's in his eighth year with the Ravens. He's had a career that spanned 47 years. It's almost exclusively been as an offensive line coach, at least since 1979. He'd been an offensive coordinator a little bit mixed in with that, but he's always coached the offensive line. His career is almost transcends any of this, but he's had 15 employers in 47 years, really lived the nomadic life of a coach. And successful ones, they move a lot. They have to continue to get that next job. But 8 colleges, 2 CFL teams, 1 World League of American Football, and 4 NFL teams over the last 16 years, where he's actually been much more stable in terms of keeping employment. I guess that's what happens when you reach the top of a profession. You become the anchor for NBC News or whatever. You tend to keep that position for a number of years if you can.
Yeah, for sure. And you think about Joe, he was 70, right? He was coaching literally until like two, three weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the beautiful things about how everybody is remembering Joe D since we all got the news yesterday morning on Sunday morning is that obviously his coaching career speaks for itself, as you just mentioned. I mean, to be able to coach, especially mostly in the NFL, for multiple decades, I think obviously speaks for itself. And while people have been saying what a great coach he was, what people are saying more of is what a great person he was, what a great man he was, what a great human being he was. And I think that that is such a beautiful thing, because at the end of the day, we all spend so much time with each other, right? In this profession, especially, whether you're a coach, whether you're a player, your staff, your athletic training, media, PR, whatever you do. But it's, and you know, you obviously want to be successful as a team, win games, win Super Bowls. But at the end of the day, I think the things that you take away are what people have been sharing about Jody, is those little moments that the day-to-day that you remember, that, you know, whether you might not realize it at the time, but, you know, those moments that you're going to remember about some random life advice. You know, Coach Harbaugh shared a story today about how Jody worked in the coal steel mills. That's obviously a concept in my generation, a little bit more foreign, obviously. But, you know, he's like, he would start every day with a shot of whiskey. You know, he's like, maybe we should do that in honor of Coach Jody. But I think that's the beautiful thing, is that people are sharing the kind of person he was, not necessarily about his coaching career.
Yeah, very, very hard-nosed person and area to grow up in, by the way, Western Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. 1950s when he was born. One story was related to me by a coworker who grew up in Pittsburgh. He said, even if you worked in business back then, you took a second shirt into work if you had an afternoon or dinner meeting, because you would get soot on your shirt from the air there. It could not have been good for people who worked in those steel mills, but they obviously drove a lot of American industry at the time.
Yeah. I think Coach Harbaugh was trying to explain that to some of us a little bit today, those of us that are a little bit more unfamiliar with the times, I guess, is the best way to put it. But I think the really lovely thing is that everyone's just been sharing stories. I mean, if you were on social media all yesterday, on Twitter, on Instagram, anyone who has actually played for him or even got to know him. I have a friend who actually covers the Bills, and we had talked a little bit in the last yesterday. And he was like, oh my gosh, he's like, Jody was such a great guy. He was a reporter. And Jody was such a great guy, even, you know, when he was here too. So I think, you know, you're a good person here. He's obviously a good person throughout his entire career. And I don't know if anyone who's listening, and if yourself too, had read the piece that Jeff Cerebic did for The Athletic on Jody last year. I mean, I was crying reading that piece, just about, obviously it's about his life, but the lovely, wonderful, like, love story between him and his wife too. I mean, they were married for multiple decades. Again, a concept that's a little bit more foreign to my generation right now, but I mean,
right out of college, they got married.
Yeah. You learn so much about him as a person, and you just learn about how his heart, I think, more than anything in that piece. And just from being around him, you could tell right away that he's such a gentle, kind soul. And yeah, just he obviously, his presence is obviously missed already.
So I want to also mention some of the testimonials that were given by former players. Now we hear, obviously, the teammates and the other coaches and whatnot. The Ravens organization has been appropriately effusive with regard to Jody in this last day or so. But his ex-players, the testimonials from Matt Skura, from James Hurst, if you haven't seen them on
James
Twitter,
Hurst,
look them up. Yeah.
Yeah. His was so lovely. And even for the guys that, I mean, there's a whole host of guys, obviously, that have played for Jody, but even the ones that really didn't, even if they spent a season with him, you know, I think that that they certainly were touched, I think, by his presence. I mean, he's a 70-year-old man, literally yelling at you, like, you know, on the sideline, you know, on the field. And I mean, how can you not, you know what I mean, respect? I think that was one of the things that I noticed about him right away. I was like, he's like really in there. Like, I mean, he is not like, you know, he is in there, like, you know, on the pads, like with the guys and everything like that. Like, there was he was relentless, you know, and he could obviously tell that. He was still in excellent shape for 7 years old. I hope to be in as good shape as 7 years old as Jody was. But I mean, you just, I think Coach Harbaugh mentioned that Ronnie Stanley and Patrick McCary and Tyler Linderbaum had spoken to the team. Especially Ronnie and McCary, those two, they've certainly been with Jody for quite a few years.
Yeah, you're bringing up additional names that I didn't even have on my list of players that I have to add because they're UDFAs. But Patrick McCary, I'll have to include it in here. I'm going to go through.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to miss
so many.
Do that.
but there's so many. And I think that just speaks to the depth and breadth of the number of people that he impacted. And I think back, I mean, even the guys that he gave them a resurgence of their career. I think right away to last year's team, and I think of Kevin Zeitlin, I think of John Simpson, because Kevin was someone who came here and he wasn't really sure like where he stood in the league, if he still had a career ahead of him or what the deal was, you know, having been in the league for so long, and he knew that he was getting up there in age, but he said he came here and he said, I feel like I had a resurgence of my career. I feel like I can play again after this. And same with John. John kind of said the same thing, that he came here and his, you know, his ego, his self-esteem was a little bit in the gutter and he didn't really feel good about himself. And I think about the kind of person that John was in preseason week 3 and then what he was like, you know, week 13.
Those are really good examples. And boy, with Zeitler, let's talk about him for just a second.
Yeah.
He's certainly a great one. The Ravens signed him for 3 years, $22 million. And it was the thought always has to be when you sign an older lineman like that, that you're probably going to get two for the price of three in terms of years. That third year, he's basically going to retire, and you're going to you're going to lose the value of that year. Zeitler, he outplayed his contract for all three of those years, including the last one. And it was really surprising that the Ravens, it's a little surprising to me, honestly, the Ravens didn't try and sign him given what the Lions got him for. But great way to keep a player like that motivated. And I think Zeitler probably will remember as fondly as where he earned his first Pro Bowl was with the Ravens. So
yeah, his wife had posted about it yesterday. Sarah posted about it yesterday about what a great family man Joe D was. And I think that a lot of the guys can certainly speak to that as well. His three daughters, obviously, if you read in Jeff's article, I have not had the opportunity to meet them, but Coach Harbaugh said today that they have been here. You know, they've been with him the entire time that he was in the hospital. You could just tell the mood today. It was a little bit quieter, you know, when we walked out there. You could definitely tell that this is impacting. And here's the thing too, is like, it didn't just impact guys on the offense, not just guys on the offensive line, but even like the defensive guys tweeting and posting about what an amazing guy that Joe D was too. You know, even guys that didn't play that aren't here anymore. Patrick Queen posted about it. Geno Stone posted about it. Geno Stone actually, I think, from the same, Western PA area that Joe D is from as well. So I think that truly you can tell about how much he impacted these players on this team. And you can see it transcended even just outside of his own position group.
Yeah. I think Matt Skura, I believe he must have went to Duke after Joe D had already left there, but they still understood who he was in terms of offensive line play at that school in a big way. But I'll give you a quick list of the players he coached in Baltimore. Think about it. There's only five offensive line positions, and you know, it's only been 7 full years. This is his 8th season he'd been going into, but he coached Rick Wagner, James Hurst, mm-hmm. Jermaine Illuminor, Ryan Jensen, Matt Skura, Ronnie Stanley, Bradley Bozeman, Orlando Brown, Ben Powers, Ben Cleveland, Patrick McCary, John Simpson, Kevin Zeitler, Tyler Linderbaum, and Marshall Yanda. That is an unbelievable group of 16 linemen over that period. And the Ravens graduated most of those guys into free agency with the opportunity to make big money, or a number of them. Ryan Jensen, huge contract. Mm-hmm. Orlando Brown made a lot of money. Ben Powers has made a great contract from the Broncos. Kevin Zeitler got paid again from the Lions. You know, Rick Wagner made a lot of money from the Lions. So anyways, these players, I think they understand just how valuable he was to them personally and you know, in terms of generational wealth that he helped them acquire.
And you look at that list of names and you see guys who are Hall of Famers, guys who are potentially Hall of Famers, you know, in the future too. And I think that just shows you, again, we're talking, a lot of people had mentioned, you know, his coaching career and all that stuff. But I think coaching, obviously, when you talk to some of the great coaches and the head coaches I've covered before, it's obviously about, you know, the bare minimum is football, teaching these guys to be better football players. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that. You know, it really, really is so much more than that, because you get to know guys and their families and what they're going through in life. Because again, you spend so much time with them. And I remember, because I've definitely spoken to a few of the guys about Joe D before, because I'm like, you know, in my years, yeah, I'm like, this is insane for me to be watching a 70-year-old man out here, you know, getting on the pads, like with these guys who are literally 50 years younger than him. And so I would always ask them, I'm always like, tell me about Joe D. Just tell me, what's he like? And I remember, I think it was John or someone, Tyler, they're like, he's the GOAT. I mean, he's obviously the best. Like, you know, he's just out there. He's like, you would never guess that this man is 70 years old, you know, when he was out there at the time. And he's just such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah. And energy, the energy level, which mm-hmm. I think you're capturing with this, is incredible. It's very much a stickler for details. And it's just, yeah. if anything would not go right, or even when it did, he'd be energetic about teaching that next.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
He was always a very old school guy in terms of these half line reps. And in fact, building up individual players mm-hmm. into half line reps and working from there. But he would step right down, big stickler for footwork. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you don't think about that being the most critical thing, unless you do like I've done and go back to watch the 2005 Ravens bumble around with their footwork and trip each other on poles and step on the quarterback's feet all the time. But he always knew where that first step was supposed to go, where the second step was supposed to go. It did not like wasted steps or pity pat steps. Always very big on that.
Yeah. And here's the thing too. If you did something wrong, Jody would definitely let you know, because I have seen him yell with, like you said, just as energetically as he would compliment them. I have seen him yell and say some words not fit for this broadcast, you know, at some of these guys too, when they're not doing something wrong. So, you know, he was definitely tough. Like, don't get it wrong. I think John was the one that told me, he's like, if you mess up, like you will certainly hear about it. So, I think that just encompasses the kind of person that he expected perfection.
Just to take you back here, not too many practices ago, this was within, mm-hmm. I mean, this has been in early August because he was definitely there, but mm-hmm. he lit into Daniel Fa'alele.
I was just going to say that too. That was another guy that he definitely got onto him yeah. a lot. And I have seen that so much.
But you know why that is? Why I think that is anyway? He believes in Daniel Fa'alele. He wants him to be the best he can. And he's his selection to play right guard. I really believe that. He wants him to be the next right guard. He says he'll get of a size. I asked him at the podium about footwork and hand usage. He said his footwork's not bad, and he had to really struggle through to not say something not kind about his hand work, but he it's clear that, you know, he sees things in him that can make him a good offensive lineman. And I think at some point we have to accept that his judgment has been pretty damn good in the past, And although I'm not I'm not enormously optimistic about Daniel Faalele's future in the NFL, frankly, if Joe D is, I should take that as very strong evidence.
Yeah, the thing, I mean, there's things that Joe D can see that really only comes with experience, right? Things that you or I probably cannot see. And I think that Faalele was definitely one of his projects. Like, I mean, I think one of his people that he really wanted, guys that he really wanted to see succeed. I really hope that he does. I think that sometimes with Daniel, you have to instill a confidence in him that he necessarily doesn't really have in himself just yet. You think about it too. He's what, a couple years out of school. He's so young. And still a lot of these times I think about when I was in my 20s and, you know, trying to figure out who you are and figure out that confidence. So I think Daniel is still trying to figure those things out as he goes along. But I wish I had gotten the chance to talk to him before coming on to talk to you. We didn't really get a chance to talk to players today, but I know that Daniel would have a lot of things to say about Coach Joe D. We'll get to talk to them in open locker room next week, but I know that's certainly going to be a big topic of conversation. And yeah, I mean, I think last year I talked to Ronnie Stanley about Joe D because I think Joe D was coming on some kind of milestone that I can't quite remember at the moment, but I was like, anything like you want to say about your coach and whatever. He's like, I mean, Joe D is, he's an incredible human. Just a wonder. Like, he didn't even say really anything about like the coaching stuff of it. He was just like, I mean, he's like literally like the way that he talks, you know what I mean? It's almost like having your grandpa, like, you know, I mean, coach you throughout a little bit too. And I think a lot of the guys find that endearing, you know what I mean? I mean, I think I find that truly endearing. So, yeah, just all the memories have just been so lovely.
You know, we watched a few years ago when Patrick Queen was in his second year and he wasn't playing on special teams. And the Ravens had Rob Ryan come in and be the linebacker.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yep.
And Rob Ryan had to basically try and relate to Patrick Queen. There was obviously an enormous divide between these two human beings. You know, Rob Ryan would waddle around and move this towel around with his foot to try and show Patrick Queen where to basically stand. And Patrick Queen was like, literally would lean against a donut while special teams drills were going on. Tackling donut, I'm talking about. And it was not a good sight to see these two clearly not connecting. I never felt like Joe D had that kind of divide between his players. I felt like he's very unusual in the respect of an older, and oftentimes this is the case, a white male trying to relate to younger men of who may be of color or may not, but either way, they have huge generational divide.
That's an excellent point, actually, that I didn't really think about. But I distinctly can see, I know exactly what point you're talking about when you were making the point with about Coach Ryan and Patrick Queen, because I distinctly remember watching that and being like, I don't know if this is gonna work out. But yeah, that's an excellent point, because you think about, again, transcending generations. The world has changed quite a bit since Joe D first started coaching, obviously. And the fact that he was able to stay relevant, right? I think that's the big thing, staying relevant with these players. And, you know, one of the things that I love so much about football is how much the game evolves, right? You're always learning. It's always going to be a new challenge. It's never stayed stagnant. And the fact that someone is able to stay in the league for so long and adapt with those changes, I think that's so important too, not just in terms of even just relating to players, but in terms of the game, because obviously the offense, I mean, the basics are the same right across the board in any position, really. But especially, you know, the O-line, which is a foundation, which arguably is the foundation of any offense, and on different teams too, you know what I mean? Going through different like coaching schools of thought, like transcending that as well. I think that, I mean, it's something to be said for sure for someone to be able to do that.
I think we'll look back on this as him being one of the real architects of Greg Roman leading this into a new era of run offense and frankly of assimilating Lamar Jackson into the league. Yeah. A lot of that is Greg Roman, but it's the most prolific rushing attack in NFL history over the last 5 years. A lot of people deserve some credit for it. Don't get me wrong, but if you in any way downplay what Joe D'Alessandris did to help Lamar Jackson succeed in this league, I think that's a fool's errand. I think that you know, his contributions to making sure the offensive line did what they could to allow Lamar to be as great as he's been has been very special.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you could tell that he wasn't just one of those coaches that obviously had stuck to his own position group too. You could see him being jovial, I think, across the board, especially with some of I think some of the bigger guys too, some of the tight ends, Pat Ricard, of course, as well too. So he was definitely someone that wanted, I don't think that just wanted to stick to like being with the O-line, but obviously wanting to get to know everyone. And I think that's speaking volumes. Like we're hearing from the defense guys too about what a great guy Joe Gadue was.
It is great to see all these testimonials. Let's transition a little bit and talk about George Warhop, who's coming in now, hired basically the day that it's before he went to the hospital, actually. It's between And he is brought in, has one of the biggest challenges in Ravens history ahead of him in terms of replacing three positions on the offensive line in 1 year. Yeah. With Joe D, maybe that wasn't an insurmountable task. George Warhop has almost as much experience. He comes in having even more NFL experience and a very similar resume in terms of being a bajillion different jobs in about four different leagues. But he faces a real uphill challenge. Have you interacted with George at all since he got here?
I have not, but I did watch it. I've been watching quite a little bit, obviously, as we know, because of those three holes left in the O-line. The O-line is getting a lot more attention, I think, than it normally would in an off-season, preseason situation. I was definitely paying a lot of attention to him today, and he's just as tough on those guys as Jody. That's what I noticed today for sure. He was yelling and, getting in there too. So obviously in his cup, he hasn't missed a beat in terms of picking up of where Joe D left off. He's definitely on Daniel Falele a little bit, but he was just as complimentary when he was doing well. But I think that is certainly a huge challenge. This would be a huge challenge for any team, I think, right now, for any offensive line coach, for any offensive coordinator, filling three big holes at O-line is really tough. I mean, I just don't know what other way there is to put it. And Coach Harbaugh did say today that he's made some decisions on starters. We are obviously not privy to that information. I don't know if anybody outside of the locker room really is, obviously, for reasons of strategy against the Chiefs. But I mean, look, there's going to be some, whether it was going to be Joe D or Coach Warhop, I think there's going to be some growing pains, you know what I mean? Even when it comes to the starting offensive line. And I will admit that what I saw against the Packers was did not necessarily instill confidence in me at all in terms of how I feel about the O-line. But I do think that it's going to be a bit of a process is the best, kindest way that I can put it.
All right. So there were some early retirements in that game. I think I've got a pretty good handle on who's going to be starting in the game.
Yeah.
The only question for me is really right tackle is whether they'll just rotate initially between Rosengarten and McCary, or if they'll give the job entirely.
Here's the thing, I understand the McCary situation, right? Like obviously, like I'm sure he wants to start games. You know what I mean? You want to be a starter in the NFL, obviously. But for me, like, it's almost like a weird thing, right? It's almost like you're too good at like everybody else's job to like give you just like one person's job. You know what I mean? So when you're talking about like rotation, maybe they kind of like ease Rosengarten into that role because like, God forbid, somebody else, knock on wood, gets hurt, like whatever. McCary's going to have to be the guy for the most part. You know what I mean? That's always been his role. So I don't know. I don't love that he would be the permanent starter. I'm sure he would disagree with me, but I think that there are definitely going to be some growing pains. But yeah, the other positions are pretty set in stone in the minds of everybody else as well.
All right. Well, Melissa, absolutely a pleasure talking about this with you, although not a pleasure to have to talk about this with you.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of funerals, it seems like, over the last few years, and I like them when they're celebrations of life. And it's very easy to have that for someone like Joe, who had so much positive and so many people who loved him. So I appreciate you talking about that with me. What should you tell folks, first of all, where they can talk football with you online, but also where they can see your work?
Sure. Really quickly, before I get to myself in a second, Coach Harbaugh did mention after he got off the podium today that his three daughters, I think there's going to be a funeral and celebration of life up here down here in Baltimore. And I do believe that it is open to everybody. I think he said that fans and all that too. So definitely keep an eye out. I'm sure that this team will tweet it or put it out on social media, but he encouraged, the media to attend. And I think that, because first of all the people that loved him and, this team really could use a little bit of, I think, remembrance on this for sure too. So back to me for a hot second. So I'm doing social. You can watch me on Bleach Report social accounts, listen to me on The Fan on Friday nights and post game after Ravens games. Nobody here cares about Channel 9 because no one lives in DC. And then I will also, if you are a fan of the Howard University Bison football team, I will be doing some color and sideline for them on ESPN Plus this season for home games.
All right. Outstanding, Melissa. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a Film Study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I want to hear from you about a topic you're passionate about. Do have a little bit of time before the season starts to record two or three of those. Hit me up with your idea. Melissa, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much. A pleasure as always.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.